Welcome to this episode of the Building Texas Show. Today, I'm joined by Robert Peroni, who is all over the place, but doing some incredible work with the startup and incubator world globally, but with a real intention of launching these efforts in Texas and giving communities a way to see the results of good investment in entrepreneurship, innovation, and programming, which a lot of it has to do with the company Generator. So Robert Peroni, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Justin. And, thanks for what you're doing for the great state of Texas. I'm located here in Houston, as you know, and we love the state of Texas from the west to the east to the north to the south. And I'm really excited to be here. And, as I said, Robert Peroni, I help lead expansion for Generator, one of the largest startup accelerator and venture funds in the United States. We operate in 50-plus cities, but my primary focus is on Europe and then helping to expand in the great state of Texas.
Well, it's interesting to me that you can compare those two economically really well. When you look at the GDP of Europe and look at it next to Texas, there's a lot of bridges built between our infrastructure, our ports, our people, and what's going on in other parts of the world.
Absolutely. I mean, we all know Texas has always been a global economy. We, from the energy capital of the world here in the Houston metro to Space City to what we do in energy out on the west side to the financial sectors and sports tech sectors in the north, we kind of are a draw for populations all over the world. And it's very similar to when you're in Europe, they have all these same industry sectors. But here in Texas, we kind of have them all clustered, which makes it a little bit different.
Well, we also have a little bit of Europe coming to Texas in the near future with some football, and not the American version. We are hosting the World Cup, and I think Texas has the most games out of a state or location than anywhere else in the hemisphere for this World Cup, and that's a real privilege. I was talking to the mayor of Arlington, and they're hosting 9 World Cup games in Arlington. And having seen global football, that's a fan base that travels. It is a place that they look forward to this every 4 years. And I think it's going to be a tremendous win for our communities and our tourism, but we will see.
No, you're spot on. The economic impact for communities is going to be tremendous. The world will descend on Texas, and we're going to get to showcase all the things we love about our great state. From our entrepreneurial mindset to our parks, our recreation, our infrastructure, it's all going to be showcased for the world. I'm really excited about that. What I'll say, though, and I'm hoping that more communities are taking focus, it's a really good opportunity to expand commerce. And it's a big opportunity to double down in a couple key industry sectors if we really think about it. You think of health and human performance. So looking at like a startup economy, you can really focus in there. You can look at fan engagement and new technologies around how we can really engage fans differently, and we can become a showcase state for that. And then finally, from a safety and security perspective, so anything that is in that sector as well really has an opportunity to thrive. And then cities that want to really diversify their economy, look at the next wave, could really take an opportunity here in the next couple of months to ramp up into those sectors and put technology on showcase for everyone to see.
Well, and I'm seeing that across the entrepreneurial communities, that when these type of events come to town, they do use it as a showcase. I think we see that example with South by Southwest, right? There's the ancillary events around it that are opportunities to gain exposure. So when you have a global audience descending on Texas like we will, I hope that our innovators are out there showing off new security and safety measures, showing off innovative spaces in our communities, in our cities, in communities of different sizes, because there are the halo effect. Like if games are in Houston, cities like Sugar Land are putting together events to ensure that they can capture some of that inbound traffic and some of the hotel needs. So it's really exciting to see what these type of events can do for an industry like yours, where how do you measure that return? How do you talk about a 10-year capital investment on highway infrastructure, let's say yes, but it's going to be super important when we get to this event that's 8 years away. And I don't think the common listener says, oh yeah, they've been thinking about this and those two things for that long. But you and I know that that's what it takes to make these kind of systems work.
Yeah. No, and you know, what I would say when it comes to that, you know, it's always this tricky situation for planners, economic developers, city managers and mayors and everyone that works in that sector. A lot of the way they're looking at it is planning and looking into the future, but they're also budget constrained with what is of today. And so it's a really complex situation that they're always dealing with is their budget is really fixed on the infrastructure of today, but the planning and vision is of 8 years from now, to your point. So what I always tell cities and communities is you really have to be thoughtful about the investment that you want to make to drive the results you want in the future and what that economic impact looks like. You know, I can really speak to it on the entrepreneur side. But on the infrastructure side, that is where it's capped, right? And people always say, well, why didn't they build these freeways bigger? We knew they needed to be. The problem is the budget constraint is for today. We know that there's going to be larger impacts, but there are constraints that they have to work within. And it is a tricky process, but you know, I think they do a great job. I know here in Houston, they've done a great job in trying to continue to expand the infrastructure and get ready for all of the great things happening. I travel to the airport a lot, and you can see they've put a lot into that airport getting ready for the ramp up to the World Cup, because that is the entryway. That is the gateway to Houston for everyone coming here.
Well, let's dive into the entrepreneurial work that you do and how it's all related, because I do think it goes full circle from the startup mindset of having a population of people that say, hey, I do want to do this. I want to do it here. What resources, what training, how do I become an entrepreneur? And Round Rock might be a great example of where y'all have come in and really helped a number of stakeholders in that community come together and create something really special.
When we look at the city of Round Rock, we partnered with the Chamber of Commerce in the city and our economic development agency to say, what can we do in the age-old principle of economic gardening? For anyone who's kind of new to the economic development world, the city world, economic gardening is saying, let's invest in locals and let's invest in our own, and we'll watch outsized returns because they'll invest back in our community. And so when we worked with the city of Round Rock, we said, how do we continue to grow and spark their entrepreneurial ecosystem? And so they worked with Generator. We opened up our location there. We work with founders from around the community. We help them go through our accelerator programs, which takes them to essentially helping to raise capital. And so there's always a fun term in economic development that's called foreign direct investment. It's how do we bring new monies into our community that didn't exist there before? And I always tell people, well, when a startup gets funded by an angel, a venture fund, or something, if it's not from your community, it's bringing in new capital investment. So foreign direct investment, in my mind, can be new capital from anywhere that doesn't exist currently in your community. And so that's what we're doing there. And the ultimate goal is, how do we create a hub where people in Round Rock know, if you want to accelerate an idea, think of an idea, or just be entrepreneurial minded, you know, you go to this hub, and it's going to be hosted in partnership with Generator, the Chamber, and the city. And we're going to create jobs and we're going to create impact right there locally.
But it's the network effect that gets created in that as well. And famously in Silicon Valley, they talk about network effect, but I think we have something really unique in doing it this way with chambers and EDCs and cities, because from those doorsteps, it's not a big leap to anywhere in the world, which has really surprised me over my years of doing this, because the leaders in Round Rock are so well connected. The leaders in Arlington, McAllen, Houston, if you have a good idea, they can open doors and they can do more than what you initially go in there looking for money. But sometimes it is that networking and access that really does change the trajectory of a startup.
Absolutely. The network is so important, and access, to your point, you need access to mentors.
Right.
You need access to people who understand, you know, the technology you're working on, the core industry that you're in, the regulatory environment. Maybe it's geographical. What if you're an ag tech startup in, say, Round Rock or Houston or Huntsville, Alabama, but you need access to Wisconsin? And so how do you gain access to these other core markets? And so that's very important because you need it for core customers. You might need it for talent. And then, of course, the finance side, you need access to angel investors, venture funds. Maybe it's SBA lending banks. So it's all about the access, and the network is really important.
And on that, it's an interesting comparison, because if you go into a corporate job and you work your way through it, you have those structures in place. You have mentors professionally in your company. You have leadership that is investing in you and helping you grow your career. In the entrepreneurial world, it can feel very lonely. You're out there by yourself and you don't have those social support systems that corporate jobs have had to build to retain talented people. So it makes sense in my mind that these ecosystems need to replicate that in a way. And programs like yours that have the programming around it, the how-to, where has it worked? Where can we give you these specific examples of taking a community from this is an idea that we want to invest in to 10 years later, oh, we've invested $3 million in foreign direct investment. We've created 600 jobs. We've got 8 companies that have IPO'd, whatever it might be. But those take 10 years to pay off, and you have to have the appetite to do those early investments to see the big returns.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, entrepreneurism is lonely, and it's tough, and it's not for everyone. But when you support the ecosystem and you give opportunity to entrepreneurs to surround themselves with like-minded individuals, incredible things happen. And that network effect does happen. And it's sometimes just being around someone who says, you know, that is a good idea. Or have you looked at it this way? And so when you surround yourself in a cohort model like we do at Generator, they're small cohorts. That's kind of our niche, is very concierge. And so when you're sitting there with 5 or 7, you know, other startup founders, you're able to ask very detailed questions. But sometimes someone says, have you thought of business development from this perspective? Or you think your core customer might be here, but maybe your core customer is actually here. And so you're able to essentially create a brainstorming opportunity that did not exist if you were just sitting by yourself trying to figure it out. And I think that's what's so important in building these ecosystems, is just having someone to say, you know, pick your head up and keep going. Because when you're trying to make a sale and you get a no, that's hard. We're human. I think so many times people think, oh, you just brush it off and move to the next. At the end of the day, we're human, and it is tough. And so having that opportunity to be around those people is so important. And when a community has the foresight to think about years from now, how do we create everlasting change in our community? How do we take our community to what it has the opportunity to be? Those are investments you need to make now, knowing you might not see the returns in the current political cycle or leadership cycle, but you set your community up for years to come. And you know, the last thing I'll say to that is, you know, we're a Midwest accelerator venture fund. We're from the state of Wisconsin. We've been in Wisconsin for 13 years, and we're very proud of that. And, you know, over those years, the startups we've helped are 541 startups. They've gone on to raise $1.15 billion of follow-on financing that flows into that economy, creating more than 6,760 jobs. So did that happen in year one? Absolutely not. But what it's happened is over 13 years, those compounding effects are really starting to show. And then the fun part, like when I was in, you know, working with the group in Houston, we always said, you're looking at the numbers in year one, year two, year three. What happens when those startups start hitting maturity in year 5, 10, 15, Now you're going to see a compound effect that is just tenfold.
Well, and I recently sat down with Gary Forney from Central Texas Angel Network, and he talked about similar, how they've got the 8 or 9 companies that have IPO'd over 10, 12 years of doing this. And those are really great stories for the community and for the investor. But it's such an economic opportunity for that founder to have found the program, to have worked their way through it, and then get to that end result. And that's not everybody's story, but your numbers that you just listed are great, because that is an impactful story. And I want to dive into the regional conversation of Texas, because when we talk about Texas growth, we think of the Texas Triangle, and there's a lot of growth happening right there. But you and I've talked about these other communities across Texas that are looking to really keep talent in their hometown. They might be an ag-centered city, but they're typically clustered within a group of cities that have a shared regional goal. Do you see collaborating cities? Do you see cities or regions working together and collaborating in that way?
Yeah, I think you can absolutely see that. I think historically, you don't overly see that in the economic development, city development.
The silos.
You do. And I think it's because, you know, their fiduciary responsibility is to the stakeholders from their community. And that is tough when, you know, you are in West Texas, you have a community that you need to be focused on. But to your point, when communities work together, they can create tremendous clusters. You think of what's happening in West Texas. You know, from the energy sector, what happens through Midland and Odessa, together they have created one of the most powerful energy clusters there is in the United States, and maybe even globally. And it's putting in, you know, not only talent attraction to get people there, but it's the infrastructure that they've had to put in for housing or for goods and services, the educational training and attainment that they've had to really focus in as a regional cluster. They couldn't do it on themselves. And so by doing it in a regional cluster, they've been able to create things differently. And you can see the impact that happens out there every time you drive through. You can see it. And I think, you know, I went to Abilene Christian. So I've been out in the west side of Texas, and I love the west side of Texas. And you see it. You definitely see it every time you're out there.
Well, and so much of that is space related now. Midland has a spaceport. I was on the phone with the leader of the Texas Space Coalition last week. They're in El Paso, and they've got some tremendous facilities for testing and innovating space industry work. And then you've got Van Horn, and down south, you've got Starbase and everything that's happening. And that has been an intentional focus from the state, the Texas Space Commission, in investing in that future work. And that is not just in Houston. That is Fireflies in Cedar Park, Texas. And they were the first ones to land on the moon commercially. So it's exciting to see these other communities stepping up and investing in the programming that puts them on that radar for the next big satellite communications company to land and select their site.
Yeah. No, it is great to see that the communities around Texas are investing in these resources and these opportunities. And, you know, what I'll say to that is, you know, from a space sector, I think it's just starting, and the sky is the limit, no pun intended here. But, you know, as I travel around the world and work with communities, and we did a space accelerator called Skyward in Emilia Romagna, Italy, which is Motor Valley. And it's looking at dual use technology and transition of auto technology to aerospace. And you think of the things that are happening here, everybody talked about Texas. Right. Everybody wants to be in Texas. We're a very pro-business state that has really started to focus on this sector and really said, look, we've always had Space City right here in Houston. NASA is just down the road from me. But now the rest of the state is really starting to dive into that. And then the cities are starting to invest those resources. And And one of the things that I love most about Generator is it's kind of our mission statement. Our mission statement has always been, we want to be a partner for the cities or communities to invest in their best and their brightest. And what we're seeing throughout the state of Texas is communities are continuing to invest in their best and their brightest with those resources. So if you can cluster in aerospace, like out in El Paso or down in Brownsville, into the McAllen area, of course, they're starting to put those investments into the community, and they're going to reap the rewards tenfold into the future. And it's a really exciting time to watch the state of Texas and the communities do this.
How can people find out more about Generator, and where would you guide them? And finally, I know we would have entrepreneurs reaching out. We'd have investors potentially reaching out. But who's the person in that city conversation or region conversation that reaches out to Generator and thinks about the work you do?
Absolutely. You know, and I appreciate that. And you know, first and foremost, I spent 13 years of my career in the economic development space and in the entrepreneur space. So love economic development. So from a city's perspective, reaching out to me, an economic developer's perspective, I would be the person here in the state of Texas. If you're looking for more information on Generator, of course, generator.com. If you're an entrepreneur, I would take a look at what we call as our G-Beta, our pre-seed accelerator product line that's there. If you're in the central Texas area, kind of around Austin, I would reach out to our partner or our project manager that sits over the Round Rock location. Schedule office hours, learn more. We do have national accelerators that are running as well. And then if you're in the ideation space, we have a G-Alpha. So if you're really saying we want to create a entrepreneurial-minded community, but we don't know if they're startups, we have a product that just takes people who are entrepreneurial-minded, and we help them create from scratch. And we love doing that. And it works, especially if there's a small college or a university in that city. It's the perfect product, and we're seeing it just continue to expand. But, you know, like I said, just reach out to me, and I'd be happy to have a conversation with anyone.
Well, that's great to hear, and I'm encouraged to understand their cities doing this, that across around the world, but really in Texas, you're seeing a lot of excitement with communities recognizing that you have to grow your own at some level if you want to have a thriving economic development landscape. It can't be just the walls and cranes of a new win. It has to be the fortitude and the culture that you put around it as well.
Absolutely. And we all know the stronger the entrepreneurial community, other industries will continue to locate around them. And that's just, we've seen it. We've seen it on the national stage. I know this is a long time ago, but back in 2018, Amazon H2Q, when it was, you know, a global rate.
I remember.
One of their requirements was taking a look at the entrepreneurial community because they wanted to surround themselves around that type of talent. And so it is very important to invest in this, even to help bring in other companies or keep the companies that are currently there. Business retention and expansion is economic development 101. And I'll never forget when I was really young in my career, still in the economic development space, someone told me one time, and I think it's synchronous, but it was a city's best company is a community's best prospect. Right. And it really got me thinking, you got to continue to focus on retaining what you have. So focusing on talent, focusing on the entrepreneurial side, obviously the parks, the rec, and all of the beautification of the city matters, but really creating that holistic ecosystem that people want to live, work, and play in your city.
Well, Robert, it's been great to hear that through your lens and to understand that so many cities are doing that. And I look forward to continuing to watch Generator's success in Round Rock and the other communities that you support across Texas, with many more to come. Well, I appreciate the time today. It's been a pleasure to visit with you.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you. And thank you for what you're doing for the great state of Texas.
Thank you for joining us at the Building Texas Show. We're excited to share stories from across the state covering the future of work and what Texas is going to look like over the next 50 years. Please like and subscribe on YouTube.